I could be.
Thank you for spending your beautiful Arizona Saturday morning with us, Rosie, on the house talking trees this Saturday morning with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. And we have off air kind of dived into this tree of the month a little bit deeper. Rosie kind of, not often does he get motivation to look into and do research as it relates to plant material. He's going to town here.
Yeah, you know, one of the common names for the carob tree is a locust tree or St. John's bread. And there's some who believe that this tree was actually one of the food sources for St. John the Baptist. The Bible says that he would eat locust and honey was his primary diet. And this word locust, as translated in the Greek, might have been this fruit from this tree, because they were, you know, from that part of the world. And it would make sense to me that he would have been eating these, because they're, like I said, really a wonderful source of sweet powder. I wanted to mention too that we don't talk much about carob trees, and maybe they're less common than some of the top 10 we'd see in the nurseries, but there's a real benefit for slow-growing trees. Maybe it's because I'm getting a little older, and I've seen what fast-growing trees can do. Fast-growing trees are going to be higher litter. They're going to be more prone to breakage. They're putting on wood faster, so the wood is weaker. Slow-growing trees, like your oak trees, like this carob tree, they achieve their landscape purpose a little more slowly. You know, instead of achieving the height that you might want in 10 years or 5 years, they might take 7 or 8, 10 years. But once they get there, they're going to be a stronger tree structurally. The wood's going to be put on more slowly, so the grain is finer. They're just a stronger tree overall. And I just would encourage people to consider that when you're putting in your new trees, that you don't want to just put in the tree of the month that the nursery's promoting, because sometimes those are the fast-growing trees that end up becoming a maintenance headache, a lot of litter, and potential for breakage as they grow so quickly and get so tall. So be thinking about this in terms of one of those. If you got this spot for it, this is a pretty large tree. They can get up to 35, 40 feet tall, but it's just not going to get there quite as fast as the others. The old saying goes, when is the best time to plant a tree? It was 20 years ago. What's the second best time? Today. So if you are thinking about putting some trees in, get them into the ground. My wife and I took some time and planted about 20 fruit trees in our backyard about probably 7 or 8 years ago now. And it's wonderful. You know, we have apricots and peaches and pears and just a bunch of apples. It's just amazing. Now, I'm so glad we took the time to do that.
Of those 20, did you have 100% success rate?
No, we lost our nectarine. It didn't make it. We babied that. I'm not sure what the problem was with it. Maybe it was just the poor quality nursery stock. But we gave it the same treatment the other ones had. Our dog did bite a bunch of them down. I think I mentioned that in the past. We had a little puppy that was teething, and he bit them all off at about 18 inches off the ground and walked out there one day, and oh, my goodness. Well, those trees became the best trees in the orchard, because the branches sprouted from just below where he had bit them off into a nice candelabra of wonderful branches that are now at a beautiful harvestable height. Now, those trees are only about 8 or 10 feet tall. We can reach up and get the apples out of them now. And so I learned a really valuable lesson. Our dog actually pruned our trees for the first time. And they've been the best trees.
And luckily enough, it was above the graft line, so it wasn't like you're getting the rootstock sprouting.
Sure, and in fact, Greg Peterson, when he sold us those trees, told us, hey, you need to cut them off real low to the ground. And I couldn't bring myself to do it. I thought, this is such a beautiful tree, and it's 6 or 7 feet tall. Well, those trees I let grow from that full height, now the branches are all 12 and 15 feet off the ground, and to harvest my peaches, I have to be on a ladder. So, you know, Greg's wisdom was my dog heard the advice, but I didn't. And those couple of trees he chewed off are some of our best.
Romy, I can't believe you haven't put a carob at your house. It's a single-sex tree, mm-hmm. so you need a daddy and a mommy.
Right.
A daddy can fertilize 20 mommies. It's an excellent fire barrier because it doesn't burn very well. It produces a chocolate-tasting syrup whose sugar content can be 50%. A 25-year-old tree can produce 250 pounds of beans. It can be eaten fresh or roasted or ground to a powder. The tree uses include animal fodder for sheep, goats, donkeys, bee forage, windbreaks, shade.
It's amazing. It's so good.
I think if you read this tree's resume, you'd buy a couple. This is an incredible tree, John.
They are. And many use the carob powder as a replacement for cocoa powder in recipes. And you'll see it sold in health food stores. And
well, I got a little strip of grove we've yet to plant, and it was going to be more annas to feed the livestock. But
you could put several of them in maybe on 4 or 5 foot centers.
In the Mediterranean, they use this to treat diarrhea.
Well, now I gotta have 2 or 3 of those. All right, when we get back, we'll start with Gary, who wants to talk pecan trees.